Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Later in the hour, we talk with Spencer Quinn, a.k.a. Peter Abrahams, about his latest book in the Chet and Bernie series. But first,
there's a new library on the Cape geared to young children and their caregivers. Not only can you borrow books, there are toys, games, and educational resources available for checkout. Joining us to talk about the newly launched Cape Cod Toy Library and the vision for its future development is Deb Wolsia. She's founder and president of the Cape Cod Toy Library. Good to see you again.
Thank you, Mindy.
Also with us is Marcia Galazzi. She's the founder and president of the Family Schools in Brewster and also an educator at the Cape Cod Toy Library. Good to see you again as well.
So glad to be here.
This was just a memory last time, I think. I mean, I should say a vision. It wasn't quite a reality yet. So when we hear the term toy library, the first thought is a place to borrow toys. But the name is misleading since the space will encompass much more than that. So Deb, start us with the mission of the toy library.
All right, you're asking me to memorize the mission, but basically it is to provide access to high-quality, screen-free play learning environment and resources for the whole community. So we are starting with having access to a family play learning center space, which we are in a church space, so we are allowed to use that space to the extent that we can when they're not occupying it. So we have regular times now that will be available on Fridays and Saturdays from 10 to 2. And the toy lending component, we are still cataloging, and that will probably be another few months before we can complete that process to be ready with that as well.
Marcia, you're an early childhood educator. What does the research tell us about the importance of play in childhood development?
Oh, the importance of play across the life spectrum. It's what the United States citizens don't do enough. We knock off and we hang out, but rarely are we engaged in quality play. And quality play is what feel good. When you come back from a vacation and you've had time to play some tennis or float in a boat or view wonderful things, you feel really refreshed, and that is the feeling of good play. And you don't have to have a vacation in order to do it if you give it a little bit of thought. And come visit us at the church's
First
name.
Lutheran Church in West Barnstable on 6A.
So some listeners might be thinking, when I was a kid, we just played. We didn't need adults to create play spaces or curate our playtime. So how has play changed for children over the last few decades, and how?
Well, it has changed in the sense of needing to be supervised, because we all have this perception that our children are basically not safe. And unfortunately, our kids have that same perception. So we keep kids tied to the couch, not literally, but really we are most content as the shepherding adults when we can see the child doing screen time. Remember the last time you watched a family out to dinner and they handed out the screen things, whatever they were, and the child sat in a quiet, contented way. In order to bring that up when you were a kid, it would have been crayons and paper and an expectation that you'd be able to sit still for that long. But the importance of play for all of us just cannot be underestimated. It is the key to good health, the key to good relationships. Mental health experts everywhere are citing the need, and there is now a strong possibility that doctors will actually be writing prescriptions for play when they encounter high stress folks.
And we need to release that stress, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Take it out to play.
Yeah. So how important is it for children to have self-directed play in contrast to activities or play managed by adults?
A child is about finding their own voice and their own creativity. And you watch a one-year-old child sitting in a high chair playing with their Cheerios, eating one and then stacking four, or brushing some on the floor, or just really enjoying everything about the Cheerios, which may or may not include eating them. And that's what we all need to do. I can't be creative with watercolor and a drawing unless I have the watercolor. Somebody's got to provide that for me. But once there, then please leave me alone to let me really think. No telephone, no bells ringing, no this class period is over. Just really unfettered time.
Yeah. It's amazing how creative kids are, their imaginations, and you ask, what are they doing? And they don't have to have all the props in their mind. I mean, they can fantasize about these, you know, worlds, whether they're a superhero or a princess or whatever it is they want to be. In that moment, they're creating a story for themselves that they're acting out.
No question. Yeah. I watched a pink ruffled princess come to school this morning. She's 3 years old, and she was carrying what had to be a magic wand. I mean, you knew it as soon as you saw it, and she was waving it around, and the receptionist said to me, I wish for many things on that wand, and you know, I don't have any of them yet. I said, well, keep hoping.
Marcia, you've been the president of Family Schools, which offers educational programs for infants through pre-K. So you have a long history of not just educating children, but their parents and caregivers. What are some of the most important tips you can give adults about the early education of children?
Well, provide a safe environment and back off. Really give children the age-appropriate, safe stuff and watch and see what they do with it. And if they're truly not interested, then they're just not. Think about something else, like an empty cardboard box. And observe. I think we have this notion that if we haven't shown them how to pick up a crayon, they won't know how to do it. But I've watched some pencil grasp skills in our 2 and 3 year olds that just astound me.
Yeah.
And I think, no, we used to have to teach that to kindergarten kids. But now, no, just
you know, you mentioned a box, and I'm sure you're familiar with that book, It's Not a Box. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's not a box. It's like whatever this kid imagines it to be. It's a race car. It's a lighthouse. It's a spaceship. Give them some crayons in a box, and it's amazing what they might create out of that.
And I always warn parents not to be the imagination, but to appreciate the imagination. Mm-hmm. And for instance, it's okay to have an imaginary friend join the table, but the parent doesn't have to set the place and put the food on the plate.
Yeah. Our imaginary friend is Mr. Nobody. Oh. Mr. Nobody gets into trouble all the time.
Perfect.
That terrible Mr.
That
Nobody.
Is perfect.
And the other thing, too, is sometimes I think as adults we sort of forget that magic of play. And I know my grandson, sometimes I'll be like ready to cook dinner and I have to wear the fire hat when I'm out grilling the chicken because I'm the fire chief. And how do you say no to that? So I wear the fire hat.
Yeah. And you will really miss that when he's grown and gone in just a few short years. So enjoy.
You bet I am. Deb, do you envision the Cape Cod Toy Library offering programming to parents and caregivers of children as you grow?
Absolutely. Yeah. And remember, programming is all integrated into simply having families come as a family and experiencing this play environment and play materials, and their observation of their children, their engaging with their children is programming in and of itself. When you're talking about workshops or specific programming for educating them more specifically without their children, yes. we've already had 2 workshops that were offered by a mental health practitioner the first 2 weeks that we've been open, and those ended up being very integrated into the environment as well with resources and so forth. So yes.
So what age is the toy library geared toward?
0 to 8, 9, which is the general stretch for early childhood, as well as it's also very appropriate for the tweens. The middle school students that we did a outreach program with last year with Lighthouse Charter School asked, well, is it going to be okay for us to go to the toy library? Because they could see that this was something they also want to engage with. And yes, they can be very helpful. In this case, they went to the partnership school and did play programs with the preschool and school-age children. Mm-hmm. But they themselves need and want to have that play experience again.
How is a toy library different from, say, a children's museum, which also have programs for
kids? It's different in the sense that it's not set up with exhibits in the same way. It's more an open environment that has a wide variety of play materials that gives lots and lots of choice for the way in which children engage with those materials. So they're more, if you want to call it more familiar mm-hmm. kinds of materials that they can then use in a variety of ways with their peers, whether they're new peers that they're just meeting or whether it be with their families or other adults.
Now, you mentioned that you're right now in the First Lutheran Church. Is there plans to expand that in the future into another or other locations?
So the first step would be to maximize the use of the space there. It has a lot to offer, both inside and out. They're even on Garrett Pond. So this weekend we'll be doing some activities outside, weather permitting, literally with the pond. And so then it's also about working around their schedule in terms of when can we have access to their fellowship hall, which is really what we need to have full, you know, 1,000 right. square feet plus of space for the main play area. The future of having a permanent place where we don't logistically have to take down and set up and take down and set up and have, you know, hours both all during the week as well as evenings when families can really have that full access is optimal.
So that's the vision looking down in the future. You mentioned the pond and that, you know, you're making me think about nature and kids in nature. And
exactly.
Marcia, you talked about kids sitting on the couch and being in the house and not out in nature as much. Is that something you hope to be able
Absolutely.
To do as nature programs?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, yeah, there's a magic out there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So what kinds of materials are available to borrow, and how do you hope to expand those materials in the future?
So they will be available to borrow, let's say, come the fall, as early as the fall as we can get all the cataloging complete. We have all of the toys so far, which is like 300 to 500 of them already, have come really from the community, all donations
wow.
of in-kind, either new or used, but from the community itself. So they range for all areas of child development, everything from physical development to science and math to pretend and imaginative to creative, innovative, sensory, you know, the whole gamut, as well as items for children with special needs. Mm-hmm. So as well as pre-reading and supporting that. We also will have resources, books for parents as well as for educators around play and child development that help both the parents, grandparents, as well as educators to better understand why and how important play is in their whatever environment they're working in with children.
Since I am one of those grandparents raising a grandchild, let me ask you this. Do you have many grandparents coming to you? Because it's different. Raising a grandchild is very different.
Absolutely.
And times have changed.
Absolutely. The first few days we've only been open 2 weeks. So, you know, but absolutely. I would say I don't know if I have a percentage to tell you, but we definitely had grandfathers coming mm-hmm. in with their grandchildren as well as grandmothers. And that is, I expect, to be a continued.
Yeah, there's a lot of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
Marcia, how important is mixed age play in childhood development?
Boy, I was hoping you'd ask that. This is the period of time when I am watching now the young staff move aboard and set up Brewster Day Camp in the environs right around the family school programs for young children. So the youngest children can now see the teenagers that they will grow up to be. And the teenagers can wonder mysteriously what it is like now to be 2 years old and on the playground. And everybody has to learn to be patient, and everybody has to seek to understand. And I think if we can keep generations mixed together, as we do in a family play day at the museum, we will be far closer to creating the society that is respectful and integrated
yeah.
than we presently are.
I mean, you can think of the conversations that could go both ways, right?
As they, mm-hmm.
So are there opportunities then for the children to play with others in that mixed age range at the toy library now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the benefits of it is mm-hmm. that you have families that come with different ages or there are different ages that are already there. You know, there are a lot of families that are isolated in the Cape, especially mm-hmm. where they're not in a neighborhood with multiple mixed ages. So
right.
children are missing that. They're segregated both in school or childcare. So this is very important for their development, and there's a lot of research that substantiates that.
Yeah. Do you envision the Toy Library will host events? And if you do, what kinds?
Absolutely. Well, for one, we make an effort to theme a particular weekend. I mean, we're open Fridays and Saturdays, so this weekend it will be Family Boat Play Day. We're anticipating a date where the Barnstable Fire Station will come, and so everything around that will be focused on that theme. We're looking forward to creating a Family Wellness Day. Mm. Those are events that are really part of what we already do, but it's just giving a little specific focus to it. And events will just continue to build off of that. So yeah. Each of those events will have recyclable materials as part of that creative experience for families, as well as toys that relate to it in a variety of ways. So I'm not really fully, there are many, many events that you can spin
and
off
I'm
of
sure
this.
You will come up with many more ideas.
Oh, there are many. There are multiple, multiple ideas, yes. Yeah.
And now you mentioned you have like 300 to 500 toys in your cataloging things. Are you still looking for donations of libraries, for the library, or volunteers?
Yes, both. So, for example, science and math toys are not something that generally people donate out of their homes. And so that's an area where we could use more. Volunteers, we definitely need. We need both those that have expertise in early childhood or mental health, but we also need people that can help with setup and takedown. We need people that will help with cataloging and photographing, people that will help with marketing and with development and doing a fundraiser for us, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there's every opportunity that you could ask for, it's there if you're interested.
And how are you funding this?
So volunteer time is the large piece of it, and the church so far has not requested rent, and so we are rent-free yet at this point. They are anticipating that to come in time. So it's grant funding, and we are grant funded as well as, minimally so far. We're building that, as well as fundraisers, as well as charging minimal for entry and for a membership.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the Cape Cod Toy Library is open at the First Lutheran Church on 6A in West Barnstable on Fridays and Saturdays. We'll post a link with more information at our website, capeandislands.org. Deb Wilsio, founder and president of the Cape Cod Toy Library, Marcia Galazzi, founder and president of the Family Schools in Brewster, and also an educator at the Cape Cod Toy Library. Thanks for coming in and keeping us updated, and I imagine we'll be visiting with you in no time to hear about your expansion.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.